the boy from in Lake St. Louis that drowned and was under the water 15 minutes and they brought him back to life. That was total impossible that he could be brought back to life, but he was brought back to life and, you know, no physical, no mental, no problems whatever, playing, you know, high school football this year. Well, there's a similar testimony from our church in Cameron. It happened before, you know, they were part of our church, but they had a similar situation where a boy drowned. And absolutely, the doctor said the same thing to the parents. There's, you know, if he does live, you know, he'll, you know, have mental problems. You know, he went without oxygen for too long. Absolutely. Well, that boy's our drummer in our church in Cameron, Cornerstone Church in Cameron. Not anything wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him physically. Anything wrong with him mentally. But it was a matter of prayer, and God, brought him back to life, brought him back awake, just like instantaneously, through prayer over him at the hospital. So, you know, God's a God of miracles. Now the thing about it is this, that there is a faith, there is a believing element to all miracles. Yet, God and miracles can never be reduced to some formula. You know, if you do this, and then if you do that, then out comes your miracle. It really isn't like that. It's not like baking a cake or cooking. You know, seems like, and I'm not experienced in cooking, but it seems to me that if you put in all the right ingredients and that you cook that at the given temperature for the length of time, you should have, come on, at the end of that, the meal that you put in. But miracles, you can't just do this and then do that and then you get one. It really cannot be reduced to that. But certainly, there is a faith element. There's that variable involved in, seems like, all miracles. God and His ways are still mysterious to us, yet we boldly proclaim and trust in the God of miracles. Our worship and devotion to God is not contingent upon getting what we want always, because He's still always God and I'm still always not, and you ought to be very grateful that I'm not God, and I'm very grateful that you're not God and that God is God. But I think we have a tendency to reduce God down to what we can understand. That's very limiting. That makes God very small. If you can explain God, then He's not God. If you can reduce God down to everything that's explainable to your understanding, then, boy, that's very limiting. Isaiah, I believe it's 55, it's either 51 or 55. God says that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. That my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But as the heavens are above the earth, so am I greater. But as the snow falls on the mountains and then melts down and becomes the streams, so God wants to reveal His thoughts to us. But boy, it's, you know, seemingly little bit at a time, isn't it? We don't have the full magnitude of God dumped on us at any given time. We don't have that capacity. So that being said, because people prayed and something didn't happen, then they say, well, then God doesn't do that anymore. Or something to that effect. Because you didn't make it happen. You didn't, you know, work the magic. But boy, I don't want to reduce God down to some result I got or didn't get in prayer. Because I still hear, I still get reports. We've seen personal, just that we've been involved as part of the story, miracles. So let's look at this believing element a little bit. And And let me give you a little taste of where we're going to go with this Sunday. Open up to Matthew 7 and verse 7. And so, let's pray. Lord, I ask that You would open up our hearts and our minds to receive Your Word tonight. Open up our thinking. Expand in us what we believe to be possible. Because nothing is impossible with You, God, and all things are possible to him that believes. And so, Lord, we again say tonight, we believe. Help our unbelief. We pray. Teach us this faith element, this believing part. The part that belongs to us is to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Teach us that tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll look at this. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? I call this the divine law of asking. In James 1, we won't turn there, but you know this Bible verse. You might not know the reference. It might be James 1:27. But it says, you have not because you ask not. When Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray in Matthew 6, He said, your heavenly Father knows the things that you need of before you ask. And then He taught them how to ask. Just because God knows what you need doesn't mean that He automatically supplies what you need. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's a faith element. There's an asking element. God doesn't just interrupt our lives without invitation, necessarily. Think about Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears My voice and opens the door. So we ask, we invite the Lord into our lives. Like my dad always said, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force Himself upon you. He won't just do things to you. You know, the Lord comes into our life and interacts and intervenes in our life by invitation. John Wesley, and I'll quote him in a different way Sunday, said something along this line concerning prayer. He said, "It seems that God does nothing on the earth except that a man asks Him to do it." Lester Sumrall was a great man of God. He ministered in his lifetime in over 100 nations. He started a feeding program where they sent emergency food into various parts of the earth. He was the only civilian to own that big cargo plane that the military used, like the C-130. I don't know. I'm not a military guy and I'm not an aviation guy, but that big cargo plane that he used that to deliver food around the world, had started television stations, had radio stations that broadcast the gospel in various places in the earth. And I was in a meeting where he was doing a question and answer with pastors. And somebody asked him, what should we be looking for in you know, like revival or some kind of move from God? What signs should we be looking for? And there was different things happening in the world in those days and different types of revivals that were going on here, there, and everywhere. And I know they were looking for an answer that had to do with certain manifestations, certain activities, and that sort of thing. And I'll never forget his answer. Dr. Summerall said this. He said, if you're looking for what God's doing in the earth, you're going to have to find the man of God. Because God doesn't do things in the earth except through people. God uses people to do things. And God uses people first to ask. You know, here's how it works. God will plant something in the heart of a man or a woman. Okay? Faith comes by, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That could be you reading the Word of God. That could be you just spending time, you know, just meditating and praying to the Lord as you're spending your time communing with God. God, you know, in that moment can speak to you. But more often for me, I know it's a product of the time that I'm spending in God's Word. I know it's a product of the time that I'm spending in prayer. But rarely do I hear or have any kind of impression of God speaking to me while I'm praying. It's like other times God is, those are the times I'm talking to God, okay? And asking Him for things, and asking for wisdom, asking for leadership, and asking for direction, asking God to fix things and turn things around, to heal, to restore. And I mean, I'm just constantly right now just praying to the God of miracles that He would stretch forth His hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done through the name of Jesus, that gifts of the Spirit would be operational through our church body to help people in need, and praying prayers along that line. But it's like other times then when I'm not talking that I'm hearing God. I mean, just, and you just know that those aren't your thoughts sometimes. You know those thoughts are coming outside of yourself, yet you hear them on the inside of yourself, because the Proverbs say that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. In other words, the Spirit of God speaks within our spirit. And it's like an inward knowing. Sometimes it's as strong as an inward voice. I've never heard an audible voice or anything like that, or never seen an open vision or anything, but just you're impressed sometimes, and then you have faith for certain things. You know, this whole idea of church planting, that came out of God talking to me, not me talking to God, because I never would have talked to God about doing such a thing. And yet here we are, you know, and we have these various places where we've planted churches, and it's going pretty well. You know, we have a congregation of well over 100 people, you know, in Cameron, and we have a congregation of probably up to about 100 people in Milan. And you know, just the favor of God. You know, in less than a year's time, we planted two new churches. You know, and Jose Luis Gonzalez, last week, our campus pastor in Milan, you know, sent me this report. You know, we had 25 teenagers in our Disciple One youth group, and they have a gathering also of older kids. And we had like 17, you know, older kids at the gathering. That's a pretty good youth group, you know, for a small church in Milan. You know, and Aaron tonight, you know, he'll have 25 or 30 students meeting in the park in Cameron. That's got to be upwards of, you know, equal to any the biggest youth group in Cameron. Well, we've been operating since Easter, you know. So the favor of God. But the faith for that comes from God. But the faith from that comes from seeking God through the Word of God and so forth. So if you're needing God to move in a certain area of your life, man, God speaks in the language of the Bible. So the more you know your Bible, the more attuned you are to the Spirit of God speaking to you. You recognize His voice. You know, many of you, if I just started talking, let's say in the middle of Walmart, because my voice kind of carries from all this preaching I've done all these years. There's a resonance to it. There's a strength to it. Just, you know, there's vocal cords and muscles. You know, you use something, it becomes stronger. And so I would say a lot of you, you wouldn't have to see me, but if you heard my voice, you go, "Hey, Stan's here." Well, why? Because you've heard my voice a lot. You've listened to me a lot over the years. And you're attuned to my voice because of that. Right? And so, in the same way, if you really constantly read and meditate on God's Word, and you pray kind of what I would call biblical or scriptural prayers, you begin to learn how to pray Scripture, you'll attune your ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because that's His language. You know, the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. That we really believe these are not just the words of men, but they're the words of God. We call it the Word of God. Are you following me? And so that seed, so if you're needing healing, or you're needing some financial breakthrough, or you know, some pressure that you're feeling, or you need some kind of breakthrough from God, more than likely that's covered by Scripture. And if you begin to meditate on that and build yourself up in faith, man, you're all of a sudden you'll have this certain faith, almost like a gift of faith, that you just know ahead of time what God's going to do. But that's the seed that causes you to start asking. That's the seed that starts causing you to seek. That's the seed that starts causing you to knock. I'm trying to teach you how faith works, because there's a faith element to miracles. There's just sometimes I know what the outcome is going to be before we ever start. Because it's like you just have this know that you know that you know. That's faith. Where did that faith come from? It came from what God says about it. But that's not where it ends. That's where it begins. That's when you begin to ask. That's when you begin to seek. That's when you begin to knock. Are you following me? There's a divine law of asking. There's a faith element involved in the asking. Does anybody know what God's phone number is? Did you ever learn that as a kid, growing up in church and Sunday school? God's phone number is Jeremiah 33:3. "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you did not know." Isn't that clever? Call to me. That's God's phone number. Don't ever forget God's phone number is Jeremiah 33:3. It's easy to remember. Three threes. 33:3. "Call to me, and I will answer you." Isn't that the divine law of asking? Isn't that the same thing as Jesus saying, "Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it'll be open." In the Old Testament, He said it that way. "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you did not know." Amen. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 22. Now the background of this is this story, Mark 11:22. The background is Jesus walks by a fig tree that has no figs on it, and He curses it. They all go on about their business. I think Jesus goes in, cleanses the temple. You remember that? And then the next day they walk past this fig tree, and it's dead. It's dried up from the roots, from the roots upward. And the disciples said, "Jesus, look at that tree you cursed yesterday. It's dead." And Jesus said, answered that statement with this. He said, "Have faith in God." Verse 23, "For verily, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." 24 says, "And whatever things you desire," or whatever things you ask when you pray, depends on the translation. "Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So Jesus used this object lesson of cursing the fig tree to teach them about faith. There's something about the power of our words, that if we say things believing that they'll come to pass, that they will. There's a believing element there. Whatever things, you know, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So that's why, you know, we speak to things. We speak to a cold and command it to leave. We speak to our checkbook and command money to come in there, you know. And that sounds funny, but Jesus taught us to curse fig trees and believe that our words are powerful and that what we say will happen. That's why I really hate to hear people, you know, when Michelle taught middle school Sunday school for 20 plus years here at Cornerstone Church, just those junior high kids. Well, junior high kids say the most awful things about themselves because they're going through that change of life and they're very insecure, and they'll come in and say, "I'm just so stupid." Or what other things would they say? "I'm a loser." They believe these horrible things and they say it about themselves. They'll say these terrible things about themselves. And Michelle would say, "I never want to ever hear you say that about yourself in my presence ever again." Something like that. And I want you to say, what would you tell them to say instead? You know, "I'm a winner." You know, or, you know, I don't know. Something positive. Why? Because there's a power to our words. If we believe our words, those things come to pass. You believe that you're unworthy. You believe that nothing good will ever happen to you. Because you believe it, you say it. And then it's reinforced because you're a prophet of your own life. Your words themselves. And so I want you to believe something better. I want you to believe that all things are possible to him that believes. I want you to believe that nothing's impossible to God. I want you to believe that God's for you and not against you. And who could be against you if God's for you? I want you to believe that you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. I want you to believe that he always leads you in the way of triumph. I want you to believe that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And lots of other things. I want you to say about yourself what God says about you. You know, when you're struggling in your marriage, I want you to say that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And things like that. Are you following me? Or, you know, don't say, "Well, you know, my kids are just brats. Little devils." Man, don't confess that over your kids. Because Jesus said, whatever you say and believe happens. That's what Jesus said. "Oh, you're that name it, claim it guy." No, not really. I'm just exercising faith the way Jesus taught faith. I want a different outcome than having little brats. You know, my grandmother confessed horrible things over her children. My mother and my aunts and my uncles. She called them, she cursed them with her words. She did. You don't think that they struggled because of that fact? But thank God, you know, my parents confessed and believed better things over their children. And Michelle and I confessed and believed. I mean, you know, anybody can look at something and just say that's what it is. There was plenty of times when the children didn't demonstrate Christ-like behavior, but we didn't confess that over them. That's just observation. Faith believes something better. Come on, somebody, and we believe better things. You know, prayed over our children that, and just believe that God, you know, will bring the right person into their life for them to marry someday. But boy, that started a long, 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 long time ago. You know, we've been praying prayers like that for 28 years. Believing. Because Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Mark 11:24. The believing part happens before the seeing part. The believing part happens before the having part. But what I believe will come to pass if it's also God's will. You understand? And so, but there's an asking part. There is the praying part of that equation, isn't there? There's the believing part. There's our part to play there. Look at 1 John 5:14-15. This is one of my absolute, I say this a lot, but I mean, this was life-altering verse that, you know, we stumbled into, didn't stumble into, somebody taught it to us. 1 John 5:14-15. Somebody taught us this, you know, 30 years ago. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of Him. Do you see how powerful that is? This is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that whatever we asked, we will receive that thing. That's some boldness. That's some confidence. That's some believing. Well, you say, how do you know if it's God's will? Well, some things are obvious God's will, because the Bible tells us it's God's will. You follow me? Now, other things, you just have to get that out of your prayer life and out of your time with the Lord, and you just know that you know that you know that that's what God is saying to you, and that gives you the faith to believe that thing. And there's just some things that we just knew. We knew what the outcome was going to be before we started, but we prayed and believed until that outcome came because we were confident. Confidence and faith are synonymous. Throw up Hebrews 11:1, if you will, please. I don't have it in my notes. But look at the language of Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Does anybody have a different translation than that? What is that? See what New American Standard says. Do you have that? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Try something like NIV. That we might not have that. We do have. All right, let's do that. There it is. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. Faith and confidence. Faith in being sure. Faith in being bold. Is all very synonymous. There's a boldness, there's a confidence when you're in faith. and that comes from knowing what God's will is. And you know what God's will is because you know what God's Word is. You know what God's will is because you've spent enough time alone with God that He's spoken to you. His words bring faith. Faith comes from hearing God's Word, Romans 10:17. There's a boldness, there's a confidence, there's a faith. But in that, I mean, there's a difference. Good friends of ours. She was in the hospital. She was in the hospital over in St. Joseph. As far as I know, they've only been to this church one time ever. But very good friends of mine growing up. Okay? We all grew up together in the same church. And she was very ill in the hospital. But there was just a boldness, there was just a confidence in me. When I walked into that room and prayed, I didn't pray some "Lord, comfort this dear afflicted one" kind of a prayer. You know, be with them in their time of suffering kind of prayer. I prayed those prayers. I'm not making fun of those prayers. But there was a confidence in me when I walked into that room that I was praying for healing and restoration, that God would raise this woman up out of this bed and that she would be restored to good health. And I remember there was more than one person in the room, and I remember they were kind of alarmed at my boldness and confidence in the way that I prayed. I'm not talking about me, I'm just talking about faith. But sometimes you just know what the outcome's going to be before you pray, and then you pray that way. And you ask that way. You ask with this expectation that you're going to get what you prayed for. My kids have that kind of boldness with us. "Dad, I need a blank." And they kind of know what I'm apt to do and what I'm not apt to do. You follow me? But there's a boldness. It's not begging. It's not pleading. Because that doesn't work very well with Michelle and I. But sometimes they just say, "I need a," and Jesus said, "Ask, seek, knock." How many fathers would give a bad gift when they were asked for something beneficial from their own children? We, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our own children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give good things to those that ask Him? Okay? There's sometimes you say no because they don't need it and it really won't be good for them to have it. Right? God would be the same way. But there's a whole lot of good things that God will give to us if we ask, believing, if we ask in faith. Let's look at this a little bit more. Can you handle a little bit more? So sometimes my capacity to teach exceeds your capacity to listen. And I never want to hit that, too often. So I'm ramping up. Michelle and I are going to go on a whirlwind trip to Myanmar in India and do 7 days of intensive teaching with just pastors and church planters in two of the just most difficult places in the world, right in the heart of Buddhism and Hinduism. And in India, also Islam, and these ought to be your heroes. They're my heroes. These are the guys that nobody knows about. They go into the villages. They go into the hardest places to preach the gospel. And so they will sit for hours and listen to you teach because they're so hungry, because they're just going to take what they receive and give it back out in those villages, in those very, very hard places to preach the gospel. Not just villages, sometimes in the biggest cities in the world. You know, there's cities in India that you've never heard of that have 5 million people in them. So I'm sort of ramping up, getting ready for that. We're booking all of that trip, and it's very complicated to get to all those places. So pray for us. Matthew chapter 9, and let's look at Jesus and how He ministered to people. And let's notice the faith element involved here. Matthew 9, verse 1. He got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus what? He saw their faith. There's a faith element involved with what's about to happen here. Do you see it? I mean, if it wasn't important, then it shouldn't have been mentioned. If it wasn't an element of the story that's necessary, then the Bible would not have recorded it for us. But it does. Jesus what? He saw their faith. Faith is a necessary part of this healing, this miracle that happened. Jesus saw their faith. And he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your heart?" Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise and walk"? "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." He saw their faith. There's a faith element. These four men believed that if they could get their friend, their paralytic friend, to Jesus, that he would be healed. Their faith caused them to grab this man's, you know, mat, his pallet, and convince him, "Go with us. We believe that if we get you to Jesus, you'll be healed." They did something. Their faith caused them to do something, caused action, caused activity, caused them to... This paralytic man's miracle began with four friends. This miracle didn't initiate with Jesus. The miracle initiated with four other people who brought their friend to Jesus. Jesus didn't start the miracle, Jesus finished the miracle. Their faith was necessary. Jesus never meets this paralytic without their faith. Jesus didn't go hunt this guy down. They found Jesus. They went to Jesus because they had faith. He saw their faith. Same chapter, verse 18. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter has just died. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will live." Jesus arose, followed him, so did his disciples. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, "If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well." Do you see her faith? Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' shall not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says shall come to pass. He will have whatever he says." Mark 11:23. This woman said, "If I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole." What did she say? She said, "If I touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole." That was her faith speaking. What did she do? She pressed through the crowd against Jewish law for her to be out there. She's bleeding. That's against Jewish law to be out in public. If you're bleeding internally, that's kind of a, you know, it's a hygiene, it's a health law. You know, because diseases are passed through blood. Come on, somebody, never mind. You understand that. This is early, you know, pre-modern era hygiene rules that come from the Bible. So she's breaking the rules, but she had faith that if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be made whole. And she spoke her faith, because that's how faith works. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Whatever you believe, you say, and whatever you say happens if you believe it. She believed it, she said it, she did it, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. And Jesus stops in the middle of this processional and said, "Who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Everybody's touching you, Jesus. Come on." He said, "No, somebody touched me with faith because power's gone out from me." And the woman told her story. And I want you to notice what he said. Pull it up. It's probably about verse 22 or 3. He said, "Be of good cheer." What? "Be of good cheer." What? "Be of good cheer, daughter." What? "Your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith has made you well." There is a faith element involved in miracles. Her faith initiated her miracle. And that's enough. That's enough for tonight. I could give more, but that's enough. Let's pray and believe that the God of miracles will perform miracles on behalf of people that need miracles. And if you need a miracle tonight, you know, we would agree with you in prayer as we close the service. Because Jesus said that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, it will be done by my Father in heaven. There's a divine law of asking element. Whatever we ask in agreement, God will do. We believe that. So let's agree in prayer. Heavenly Father, God of miracles, we ask that you would stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders would be done through the name of Jesus, that your power would go out and effect cures, undo wrongs, restore what's been stolen, work creative miracles in body parts and healings. And we command then, we speak to disease and command you to be gone, be removed in the name of Jesus. Pain to be gone in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask that you would bestow upon this congregation gifts of the Holy Spirit, manifestations of your Spirit for the common good. That you would go around doing good, healing all those that are oppressed by the devil in our midst, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. If you want us to agree with you in prayer, then would you come forward right now? We'll pray for you. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you on Sunday. We're going to be preaching about the God of miracles. Bring your friends. Amen.